This is a podcast recording for The Nature of Things. This podcast was initially recorded May 13th, 2005.
Excitement was palpable among the staff at Baltimore Woods 2 weeks ago when the news of a confirmed sighting of an ivory-billed woodpecker was released. It took me back to my first semester at college in 1942. My major was ornithology, and my advisor was Dr. Arthur A. Allen, world-renowned ornithologist. My professors included Peter Paul Kellogg, well known for his pioneering work in recording the voices of birds, and George M. Sutton, artist, dynamic lecturer, and inspirational leader of the small family of bird-crazy students who peopled the top floor of Furneaux Hall. It was less than 5 years since Allen, Kellogg, and graduate student James Tanner had made their memorable trip to Louisiana to photograph and record the voice of the largest woodpecker north of Mexico. Enthusiasm was still high, and the small group of freshmen who were looking toward a career in ornithology heard many accounts of that trip and its accomplishments. I was very impressed by study skins and mounted specimens of this handsome bird. Later on in the semester, when I saw a pileated woodpecker at close range, the impressiveness of that smaller woodpecker led me to make a resolve to become a part of the next expedition that might be formed to study the bird. I had been told that the ivory bill was much more impressive than the pileated. I searched the literature for accounts of the bird by America's pioneer naturalist. In 1731, Mark Catesby wrote, "The bills of these birds are much valued by the Canada Indians, who made coronets of them for their princes and great warriors." He further stated that these northern Native Americans, who had no ivory bill population to draw on, purchased them at the price of 2, sometimes 3 buckskins a bill. Later, Alexander Wilson wrote about the great esteem the southern Indians had for these birds, believing that a charm of bill, head, and cape of the birds conferred on them the most laudable characteristics of the bird. Audubon also commented about its prodigious ability as a woodchopper and the general esteem in which the Native Americans held it. Imagine a black-bodied, crow-sized, long-necked woodpecker, slightly larger than, but otherwise somewhat like, the pileated. The differences between the two include ivory-colored bill, a lack of facial markings, and the presence of zigzagged white stripes extending on either side of the neck down across the scapulars, those feathers that cover the joining point of wing and body. Most of the flight feathers are white, creating large white wing patches when the wings are folded against the body. In flight from below, the wings have a broad white margin on the trailing edge. This patch is separated from white shoulder patches by a narrow black stripe extending from wingtip to wingtip. The male has a flaming red topknotch, while the female's is black. Its call is a monotonous single note compared by some to a toy trumpet or a reedy clarinet note. Audubon describes the big bird as retiring, noting the following about its choice of nest sites. The birds pay great regard to the particular situation of the tree, first because they prefer seclusion, and again because they are anxious to secure the aperture against the access of water during beating rains. Both birds work most assiduously at this excavation, one waiting outside to encourage the other whilst it is engaged in digging, and when it is fatigued, taking its place. He further notes that the average clutch is 6 pure white eggs deposited at the bottom of the excavation. Like the pileateds, ivory bills prefer aged woods, where overmature trees provide boring insects and sites for nest cavities. Alexander Wilson tells an interesting tale to demonstrate their amazing woodchopping ability. In his travels, he wounded an ivory bill, which he decided to keep alive. He rented a room and left the recovering bird free in the room while he went out to make arrangements for his horse. He returned in less than an hour to find that the bird had chopped its way through the plaster and wood of the partition and was about to attack the outer wall of the building. The next day, he tethered the bird to a mahogany table and left again, this time to find some food for the bird. When he returned, he found that the bird had seriously damaged the table, leaving a pile of wood chips on the floor. Even when it was fairly common, this bird drew a great deal of attention and admiration. Let's hope it can survive to inspire future generations. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.